This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War of the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons tuning in, we're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe. Good afternoon to you over there. How you doing, my friend?
Good afternoon. How wonderful to hear from you. Is my mic far away from my face? Can you hear me okay without it being blurred?
Oh, you're coming through perfectly. All sounds
great. That's
wonderful. Everybody
out
there?
How you and how's the family? The family okay?
Well, praise the Lord. They're doing okay. Had a little bit of a scare the other day. My daughter Jemima turned off the bedroom light, and the boys are getting ready to go to bed, so they decided to turn the bed into a trampoline. And then I heard a cry, and I went downstairs, and my son Judah had launched himself off like a rocket and hit something and put a big gash in his chin. He had to go in for stitches.
Okay. But is he all right now?
He's doing okay now, and things are healing real well. So other than that, it was a great week. But everybody's healthy. Well, and
funny enough, I've got a son called Robert. And when he was 10 years of age, really hot summer it was, we had bunk beds. And he had both windows open in the bedroom. And he was jumping on the bunk bed, making it a trampoline. And he jumped right the way through the open window.
Oh, no.
He bounced off the roof. We got a little roof above. We had a little roof in the house then. And he landed on his head. And I rushed down, and he was knocked out, and his head was swelling like a melon.
Oh, Jesus.
And I took him straight away to accident and emergency. And by the grace of God, he hadn't broken anything. He was just bruised. And by the time we got home, they packed it in ice. And by the time we got home, it was back to its normal size.
Praise God for that.
I know what you're going through. I know what you're going through.
Wow. Lord Jesus, have mercy on him.
Amen. Amen. I thought I was going to have a heart attack when I saw him. He bounced right the way out, right over the front garden into the pavement. Ooh. That's how far he propelled himself. But thank God he was all right.
Amen to that.
Right. I haven't got over it yet, but he was okay, so that's the main thing.
Amen to that.
Yeah. God bless you.
How many children do you have?
Four.
Oh, man.
Four.
You're blessed.
I have two that I have two that are unsaved and two that are saved. I have a daughter who's a street evangelist in London. She goes all over London, Liverpool, Manchester.
Really?
She's a street evangelist. Yeah, she gets herself in trouble, especially with Muslims. She chases after them down the road, and
wow,
a lot of them turn nasty with her, you know.
Hey, but that's something to be proud of.
She does that, and then I've got another daughter who's rank and file Christian. She goes to church. And I've got my eldest daughter, sadly, she's a lovely girl, but she's all for materialism. New cars, new places to live, new clothes. She doesn't want to know the gospel at all, though I took her to church when she was young. And I've got a son that has sought an alternative lifestyle for himself. And when he was a boy, he was in the boys' brigade, you know. We used to march through the streets.
Yes.
On the Sunday morning, they had a band there. Even had bagpipes in the band, and they used to play as we walked through the streets of London. But unfortunately, he became a very talented actor and a very talented singer. And when he was a young man, he went on tour with Diana Ross and Gloria Gaynor.
Amazing.
Went all over the country as a backing singer. But unfortunately, because he was heavily involved in the musical theatres and the acting, certain lifestyles rubbed off on him. And he hasn't spoken to me for 12 years because I told him the dangers of his lifestyle and he didn't like it at all. So he was a lovely lad, but unfortunately, like many young men now, they chose this lifestyle, and this lifestyle is nothing but destruction and danger. So I pray that someone will reach out to him and he will come back to the Lord. He was a good Christian as a boy, but unfortunately the devil snatched him away. So we've got to yet snatch him back to the Lord.
Absolutely. Keep praying for him. And
amen.
Your daughter, who's a street evangelist, when you talk to her next, invite her to come on this program one day. We'll find her a slot if she would like to come on and preach. We'd be honored to have her on the program.
I will speak to her.
Yes, sir.
She, you know, she's a street evangelist. She does very good, you know. But as I said, she goes after the Muslims and she tells them all they're going to hell. And they don't like it very much at all. So she's had a couple of narrow scrapes where she's just avoided physical violence from them. Fortunately, a couple of Christians was about who protected her. So, she's without fear.
She has my respect because to preach the gospel today, and especially in England, is tough. In
it
many
is
countries,
tough.
It's getting tough in America. You say certain things and lock you up. And there's a price to preach the gospel these days.
Yeah.
Well, you're a blessed man.
I used to go down to Speaker's Corner. And there's a man you can find on the internet called Jay Smith. He's an evangelist and he's a protagonist against Islam. And I think his wife's English. He used to live, I think he was born in Canada, but I think he lives in California now. I found him on the internet and I used to go down there and look after him, stand in front of him when he used to preach, because the Muslims used to attack him. So me and another guy, a black guy, used to stand there and do our best to look after him. And the funny thing was, I used to wear a double-breasted pinstripe suit. I used to dress up like Al Capone.
Wow.
and I used to stand in front of this guy, and the Muslims used to be scared of me. They thought I was
suits.
A gangster. So
you had good taste. Those are great-looking suits. I like those suits.
The old double-breasted, the 1930s were big.
Yes, sir.
Big trousers and all that. Funny enough, I'll tell you a funny thing. A young Muslim man come up to me in all the Muslim garb and the little hat on that they wear. And he said to me, "Here you, Christian man," he said to me, "look at me." He said, "If you'd have met Jesus, this is the way he would have been dressed, like a Muslim." Now, this guy had a very expensive pair of Nike trainers on. So I pointed at his shoes and I said, "Jesus never wore Nike trainers. He wore sandals." And of course, the man realized, he got embarrassed and he stormed off. and I never saw him again. So,
well, they were wise not to mess with you because you're a boxer. You would have got him.
Every Christian evangelist has got to stand his ground. That's what I would tell you all today.
Yes.
Stand your ground and take one backward step.
Hey, that's a good message title right there. Folks, welcome aboard. I'm excited to be here every Wednesday with Pastor Michael Cummins. He's coming to you live from London, England. And Brother Michael, always a pleasure to be with you. Would you like to open us up in prayer?
Yes, certainly. Dear Lord God, I pray for every believer today, whatever continent, whatever country lives in. We know the gospel is under attack, Lord, and we stand for the gospel today. We stand for the Spirit of truth. We stand for the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we pray now that you will empower every Christian who may be nervous, who may be anxious. You will empower him, Lord, that he will speak the gospel with authority today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I say amen to that. Brother Michael, for those that may be tuning in for the first time, before you bring the message, give out information about your ministry. Where are you located and how do people reach you?
Well, I'm located in a place called Kilburn, London, Northwest 6. And it's near the centre to the north of London. It's not far from Euston, Victoria, all the mainline stations. And I'm the pastor. I've been there 6 years now. And we meet every Thursday between 12 noon and 2 in the afternoon for Bible study. Friday evening at 7 o'clock for prayer intercession. And every Sunday from 11 till 1 o'clock. And then in the afternoon we have prayer for deliverance and healing. I am the pastor there, and as I say, when I took this church on, it had 6 people. We now get on an average of 30 people every week, all people that have come to me through deliverance and then have joined the church. So if you want to contact me, my number is 07469-235351. Always willing to talk to you. I'm on WhatsApp, so it won't cost you anything to ring me. And that's who I am. I worked on Christian television for many years, Revelation TV in England. I used to do a program called Voice in the Wilderness. It used to come on 12 midnight to 2 in the morning. And I used to pray for people there who were drug addicts, alcoholics, insomniacs, people who were demon-possessed. I just love what I do. I'm 72 years of age, nearly 73. I've overcome in my life tuberculosis, pneumonia, and most recently prostate cancer. The Lord is wonderful. The Lord is great. If you need any help at all, contact me in Jesus' name. My website is framecummins123@aol.com. There's a PayPal link there if you want to help the ministry in any way. God bless you all. If you're in London, please come and see me. You'll be most welcome. God bless you all.
Folks, welcome aboard. This is a live program. We're just getting started. Invite a friend to tune in. Brother Michael, the mic is yours. Take all the time you like.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'd like to thank Biblical Christianity, which is an article on the internet that covers everything in Christianity. There's a wonderful lady there who writes called Alice Ananasico, and I don't know if that's an Italian name or an Hispanic name, but she did an article on the 7 judgments of God that really moved me. And I thought I wanted to speak about the judgments of God today. You know, when you go to church now, you've got to go to a church that is really spirit-filled. You don't want to go every Sunday and hear God is good. You don't want to hear shaken down, stirred and overflowing. You want to hear the end time message. And you want to hear and understand the book of Revelation and the epistles that are written in the end times. And today, what I'm going to speak to you about is scary, the 7 judgments of God. Most people don't even realize there's 7 judgments. They think of one judgment, the judgment that Jesus Christ is coming back for. But there are other judgments. And I'm going to speak about it today. The Bible informs us that every person ever born will stand to face judgment before our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And most people just believe there's one judgment. Let's have a look at Hebrews 9, verse 27, to confirm that we're telling the truth. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hallelujah. Everyone. See, these people who believe in soul sleep, that they're just going to go to sleep forever, and they're just going to live in peace forever, they're mistaken. Everyone will have to face judgment. I heard a story, a scary story by a lady who had a vision. She was an Hispanic lady and she went to a church and she was spirit filled. And she said she had a vision of the final judgment. And she's looking in this vast place where there was millions of people just standing there. And she said the people were making a moaning noise. They was anxious and nervous for the judgment they were going to face. And Jesus called this woman and he offered her to come into heaven. And she said, but Lord, my two children are in the crowd out there. Will you call them? And Jesus, she said, was different than she had ever read about him in the Bible. He was serious and he was stern. And he said, your children will not be coming in here. And she said, why, Lord? And he said, because I know things you don't know. I've seen things you haven't seen. And they won't be coming in here. And she saw her grandmother in heaven and she said heaven was most wonderful, most beautiful. But she woke up and she's been traumatized by this dream ever since. And she still has terrible, terrible crying fits, thinking that her children will be left behind. And that's why it's essential that when we preach, when I preach on Omega Man, that I preach things that are worthwhile. I don't just preach stuff that you can pick up in any church that you actually go to. I've got to preach the stuff that will save your soul. Save the souls of your family. The judgment seat of Christ is called the judgment of the Bema. And that is for the body of Christ only, the church. And it will take place immediately after the rapture of the church and the resurrection of the believers who died in the Lord. Now, Bema means podium, the altar, part of the sanctuary. In ancient Christian Orthodox churches, that is the Bema, the podium, the place of the sanctuary, the altar. The platform in a synagogue is where the Torah and the prophets are read. And that is the Bema judgment, the judgment of Christ. Not everyone who has ever lived will go through that judgment. It's for the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So there's hope there that we are prepared. Let's have a look for 2 Corinthians 5:10 and see what it says. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Hallelujah. We have the opportunity now to recall the things we have done that are bad, that we can go before the Lord and seek his forgiveness. I have to tell you that I used to consider myself the worst sinner that ever lived, or one of the worst sinners. When I was a young man, I smoked marijuana, I drank alcohol. I believe I was an alcoholic by the time I was 21. I was a fornicator. I had many, many women. And I did many things that was wrong. I always knew the Lord was real. Always knew he was real. And I prayed. But I was always tempted back into sin. But you see, we have a high priest who was touched by all our infirmities, yet was without sin. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace and obtain help and mercy in time of need. So let us come to the Lord. Now, the Bema Seat of Christ clearly tells us that this judgment is not optional. No believer is exempt from it. The word that refers to believers in Christ is the Bema judgment, and we won't miss it. We have to look at certain scriptures. The body of Christ will appear before the Lord to be judged. Let's have a look at Romans 14, verses 10 to 12. Hallelujah. And it says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at nought thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to me. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Hallelujah. We cannot escape the judgment. However, we must understand that the issue of the judgment seat is not salvation, but rewards. This judgment is not to determine whether people will enter heaven or hell, or to punish sin. This ultimate issue is decided when one accepts God's gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. At the judgment seat, each believer's work will be valued to demonstrate whether they are good or bad, and rewards will be given to those according to what they have done. Hallelujah. So, we must make sure that we are in that judgment and not other judgments. As I said, there are seven judgments. The next judgment I want to talk about is the judgment of those who believed in the Torah, believed in God from the Old Testament. The judgment of Old Testament believers. Hallelujah. The resurrection and the rewards given to Old Testament saints will take place after the 7-year tribulation, according to Daniel 12, verses 1 and 2. If you've got your Bibles with you, and please make sure you listen to this program back again so you get all these judgments written down. You know, before I was a Christian, if I ever heard any teaching like this on the television or the radio, I would literally turn it off and put music on. It would frighten the living daylights out of me. Now you have to face up to this and believe the truth. Daniel 12, verses 1 and 2. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time the people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nobody wants to rise up to everlasting contempt. After the tribulation period is over, Jesus Christ will return with the church of saints to resurrect and reward the Old Testament saints. Every believer who died from the time of Adam until the second coming of Christ will be resurrected at this time. But why aren't the church saints and the Old Testament saints resurrected and rewarded at the same time? Well, let's have a look at Hebrews 11, verses 39 to 40. Hebrews 11, verses 39 to 40. Hallelujah. You know, we should be asking questions when we hear people preaching this stuff, especially if we get visiting pastors in the church. We should ask them to give us an explanation. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11, 39 to 40. Hallelujah. And it says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Hallelujah. So this means, hallelujah, that they will not receive what has been promised to them apart from us. This means they must wait for the church to be resurrected and rewarded first. Hallelujah. So the church in Christ will rise first. Then the Old Testament saints will rise after. So I suppose you could say that is Israel. That is all the Old Testament saints that we read about from the books from Genesis onwards. The next one is the judgment of tribulation believers. Those who trust in Christ during the tribulation period and are martyred will be raised and rewarded at the second coming of Christ. We need to read the following. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Revelation 20, verses 4 to 6. Revelation 20, verses 4 to 6. Hallelujah. We must read this now. Revelation 20, verses 4 to 6. And I saw the thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years was finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of Christ and of God. Sorry, I read that the wrong way. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Hallelujah. These people have refused to accept the mark of the beast. They have preached the gospel of Christ, even under the threat of beheading. And these people will be beheaded. They haven't worshipped the beast or his image and not received the 666 on their foreheads and on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. They will be called priests of God and of Christ. Hallelujah. Some people believe that the Old Testament saints and tribulation saints will be resurrected and rewarded together at the second coming of Christ or at the end of the tribulation period. But I believe this is the true order of the judgments, and there are seven of them. Now, the word judgment is very scary. You see, we can go to court and we can stand in front of a judge And I'm sure many people do. And many people get others to give them false alibis, and many people give false testimonies. And they lay on oath on the name of God's word, the Holy Bible. And they may convince a panel. They may convince a judge. They may convince a jury that they're innocent. And though they may be guilty, they may be found not guilty. And they will go away joyous. This won't happen in any of God's judgments. Because everything we've ever done is written in the books that are held in heaven. I was preaching one night in a church in North London, and one of the ladies said there was angels at the back of the church, and they were sitting down watching me preach. And though I couldn't see them, people told me they were there and they saw them. So everything you ever say, everything you ever do, will be recorded by the angels and taken back and put in the books of life, the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, for all those that have given their lives to Jesus, and the book of life for those in the Old Testament. Now, one of the reasons I'm telling everyone listening today to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because when you consider those in the Old Testament who wish to be saved, they had to be saved by the law. And if you break one part of the law, you break all the law. Most of mankind has broken one or more of the Ten Commandments. How can you be forgiven for that if you don't have Jesus Christ? Because Jesus Christ went to the cross and he died for all mankind. So if you've rejected Jesus, what hope do you have? When we was children, in religious instruction and religious education, we would read the Ten Commandments. Most of it didn't fall in. We didn't know what the word adultery meant when we were young children. We didn't know what bearing false witness meant. But we said it. And we believed that there would be something terrible that would happen to us if we broke the Ten Commandments. I want you to consider these tribulation believers who gave their lives. They refused to accept the mark of the beast. They were on the earth when the tribulation period happened. They were persecuted. We see similar persecution today all over the world, especially in Islamic countries where Christianity is a minority. And these people give their lives. Some people give their lives. They won't turn away from Jesus. They speak the truth, even the truth unto death. Consider those Christians that were martyred in the arenas of Rome, in the Colosseum, fed to the lions, charged at by minotaurs and bulls. Their lives was, and their blood was shed. Their lives was given and their blood was shed. And I was told that Nero used to get pretty angry, because when he set the lions and the tigers on the Christians, he covered them all with blood to make them more attractive to the big cats. But they sung to Jesus. And as they were being devoured, they sung to Jesus. The tribulation believers will suffer death, probably beheading. And they will rise first. And they will be priests of God and of Christ. Hallelujah. Wonderful Christians. The judgment of living Israel All Jews who survived the tribulation period will be judged right after the second coming. The saved will enter the millennium kingdom and the lost will be purged. Let's have a look at Ezekiel 20, verse 38. Let's have a look. Ezekiel 20, verse 38. Scary stuff, all this, I know. Don't let it scare us. If these things wasn't written down in the Bible, we would just be lost in our ignorance. But because we can study them, we have a chance to put the matter right. Ezekiel 20, verse 38. And I will purge out from amongst you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel. You shall know that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. The scripture tells us that before Jesus can begin his millennium reign, a judgment must take place to determine who will enter the millennium kingdom. They are not all of Israel who are of Israel. Let's have a look what it says in Romans 9. Hallelujah. Romans 9, verse 6. Let's go to Romans 9, verse 6, and read what it says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, but they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. They're not all Israel, which are of Israel. Hallelujah. Let's have a look now. Go back to Ezekiel. Let's read Ezekiel 20, verse 34. And I will bring you out from the people, and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. Hallelujah. God will bring them home. We're seeing that today. We're seeing the Jews coming back from Russia, coming back from Eastern Europe, coming out of places like Iran, even going from Brooklyn in the USA, and even Jews from England going back to Israel. Let's have a look. Ezekiel 39, verse 28 says, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there. By reading that, it suggests that God will bring all the Jews home. They will all come back to Israel. They've been coming back gradually since 1948. And they are returning now in more numbers. Hallelujah. Let's read about the second coming of Christ. Very important. So when Christ returns to the earth, he will first gather Israel outside the land of Israel. And that is called the wilderness of the peoples, to execute judgment on them face to face. Now that does sound scary. Hallelujah. To execute judgment on them face to face. Let's find the scripture that covers this. Ezekiel 20, verses 35 and 36. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face. Hallelujah. Verse 36 says, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I will plead with you, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what it says. Jesus will deal with them all face to face. Deal with them all face to face. Now, how is Jesus going to return? Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 24, verse 31. Matthew 24, verse 31. And let's have a see what this says. Hallelujah. We praise your name. We praise your name. Matthew 24, verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven unto the other. What will be the basis of God's righteous judgment, as in the church age? Salvation in the tribulation for both the Jews and the Gentiles is through faith in the person and the work that Jesus Christ did as the Lamb of God. We all know who the Lamb of God is. The Lamb of God is taking away the sin from the world. So it's what Jesus has done. He has done this work. He went to the cross. He shed his blood. He cried out before he died, "Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do." This salvation has come through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Every single person and their individual works will be brought into judgment. Not because they are saved by their works, rather their works demonstrate that they failed to acknowledge Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Everyone must recognise that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Saviour. Have you ever said the sinner's prayer? Have you ever said the sinner's prayer with your mouth and been convicted in your heart that Jesus Christ, excuse me, is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? This is what all this is about. Let's go to Romans 9. Hallelujah. And let's go to verse 11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus Christ has died for all mankind, and he's also died for the children not yet born, whether they be male or female, that will be born and that will accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. It's true, those children were not born when Jesus Christ went to Calvary. But they've accepted him as Lord and Saviour. They've confessed their sins and they've acknowledged that he died on the cross of Calvary. He rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. Those children will be saved, because even though they never knew Jesus, or they wasn't alive when Jesus was alive, he has died for all people yet to be born who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. Hallelujah. The next judgment is the judgment of the living Gentiles. Just as the Lord judges the Jews who survived the tribulation period when he personally comes back to the earth, he will also judge the Gentiles who remain. Who is a Gentile? I'm a Gentile. If you're non-Jewish, if you're a Greek Orthodox, a Roman Catholic, if you're a Baptist, a Methodist, if you're not born as a Jew, then you're a Gentile. And this is judgment for the Gentiles. This is referred to as the judgment of the sheep and goats. Let's have a look at Matthew 25. And we're going to read verses 31 to 46. Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left hand. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drinks. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it for me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not for one of the least of these, you did it not for me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That is the judgment of the living Gentiles. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 25, verses 31 to 33. And reread this again. And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. So it won't matter whatever country you come from, you will go through that separation as sheep and goats. All the countries of the world. All the countries of the world. Hallelujah. And this is through salvation, by grace, through faith. Those who were living in the area called, or the time called, the dispensation of grace. Through faith, those saved who will survive the tribulation, who will not accept the mark of the beast, and will be identified by their works in befriending their Jewish brothers. During the tribulation, where universal anti-Semitism and hatred of the Jews is prevalent, befriending a Jewish person is an outward manifestation of the salvation you have received through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Anti-Semites. will be cast in the fires of hell. Those who speak evil of the Jews, those who do evil to the Jews, will be cast into the lake of fire. Matthew 25, verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, you have done it for me. Wonderful thing you can do is pray for Israel. Befriend Jews. Never be frightened. I'm very ashamed of these marches that are going on in London, these pro-Palestinian marches. And the Jewish people are making marches against anti-Semitism. If the English people want to be saved, they should support the Jews, and they should support the Jews in any way they can, especially by praying for them. Hallelujah. The final judgment of Satan and his demons. Jesus Christ will also judge Satan, the created spirit being who was once the angel Lucifer, who became the enemy, Satan, the devil, Beelzebub, and his followers, when Jesus returns to the earth and sets up his kingdom, their judgment is certain. They will be sent to the bottomless pit and eventually to the lake of fire, where they will be punished for all eternity. That's good news, isn't it? That Satan will get his comeuppance, and all the demons that have tormented you, for those who have been tormented by demons, think of that demon. He will go into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 10. It says, And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Satan will not escape anything. Every rotten thing he's done, he will pay for in the flames of the lake of fire. Let's go back to Matthew 25, verse 41. Matthew 25, verse 41. Hallelujah. Sometimes we have to jump. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I did a deliverance this week on a young Nigerian lady whose father had sold her to a demon so the demon could marry her. The father would own property, would have land, and would be rich and own money. I had to break this curse on this young woman who hasn't been able to marry and settle down, even though she's very beautiful, because this was the curse that had been placed upon her by her own father. She said to me that her father was ignorant, as a lot of the people are, because witchcraft is part of their lifestyle. So they really don't understand what they're doing. They look at the blessings financially and materially, and they don't think of the terrible trouble they're in. Fortunately, I was able to break the curse. The demons threatened me terribly. They said they're not going to forget me. They're going to remember me, and they're going to come out of me. But it's my job as a deliverance minister to set the captives free. This man also said that if any deliverance minister would cast this demon out of this woman, then the demon would go and kill a younger brother. And that was the threat given to me. So I had to break the curse on a younger brother. This woman had a younger brother who's into drugs, into alcohol, into sleeping around, living an ungodly lifestyle. And I said, you better tell your brother immediately to ring me up or go and see a pastor and confess his sins and come away so the devil doesn't have any hold on him and cannot kill him. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Every demon, every evil spirit. I talked to witches. I talked to wizards. I talked to Satanists today. This is the truth. You will go in the lake of fire with Satan, the beast, and the false prophet unless you turn from your evil today. There is no saving you. You will all go. You have been conned. You have been tricked by the devil. But he can't save you. He himself is coming in the lake of fire. Every witch, wizard, sorcerer, medium, diviner, Satanist, soothsayer, clairvoyant, and astrologer. Turn away from what you've done. Turn away from the gain you think you have by doing these things. There is no gain. All that awaits you is the everlasting burning lake of fire and brimstone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus we pray. You cannot be saved. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 2 verses 2 and 4. And many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of the way of the truth shall be spoken evil of. And through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. You see, God will make them all pay. Nobody can escape the judgment of God. So Satan and all those who followed Satan, and I say to all those who are following Satan now, all those that believe that Satan has blessed you, he has lied to you, come away from him now in Jesus' name. Reject him now and turn to Jesus before it's too late. Now I'm going to finish, if there's time, with the great white throne judgment. All the unrighteous or unsaved dead from all time will be judged and sent to their final place for all eternity, the lake of fire, at the end of the millennium. By the one whom they have rejected. They will be judged according to their works. They've rejected Jesus Christ, and now they're going to pay for it. Nobody can reject Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lily of the Valley, the Rose of Sharon, the Lion of Judah. We read Revelation 20. Verses 11 to 15. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. and death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Hallelujah. While many believers think that there is only one future judgment day, where every person lived will be judged, the scriptures confirm that there are various judgments and it will happen in stages. The question now is, which judgment would you like to participate in? Would you like to take part in the judgment seat of Christ, where you will be valued and rewarded in heaven without having to go through the tribulation? Of course you would. All of us want to be raptured. You know, the rapture is one of the things that seems so hard to believe in. But all of us wish to be raptured, and all of us wish to come back with Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to read two more scriptures now. I'm going to read Titus 2, verses 13 and 14. Then I'm going to read Philippians 3, 20 to 21. Titus 2, 13 and 14. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Hallelujah. We want Jesus. That's why we decided to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue things unto himself. I say to everyone out there today, Jesus is the only way. I hope it hasn't scared you, any of you. I wasn't trying to scare anyone, but I was trying to inform you what the end times will be like. And we have to spend the rest of our natural lives serving Jesus, even at the cost of death. We must be prepared to serve Jesus. Thank you for listening. Hope you like the teaching today. You can always ring me if anyone's worried. I'll give you my number again. 07469235351. I'll be happy to help you and pray with you for anything you need to petition God for. God bless you all, and thank you for the program.
Great word today. Brother Michael, give out the title you'd like to put on today's show.
The Seven Judgments of God.
Fantastic. Also, how can people contact you and support your ministry again, please?
Well, if you go to my website, which is Frame, F-R-A-M-E, Cummins, C-U-M-M-I-N-S, 123, at AOL.com, there should be a link to PayPal there. So if you wish to support me, I would be eternally grateful to you. As I said, it's essential that everyone who listens to this program is truly saved. So I give you the opportunity to ring me. I'm on WhatsApp. Won't cost you anything to contact me. And I'll be happy to pray for you.
Fantastic. My friend, you want to close us in prayer? And it was a great message today. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And my friend, I'll give you a ring tomorrow. I want to talk to you about something. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. That'll be fine.
All right. Okay. Dear Lord God, we thank you for this message today. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you, we glorify you, we magnify you and exalt you. We give you all the splendor, majesty, worship and love. And we pray that everyone will be touched by today's message. And I look forward, Lord, for next Wednesday. And I pray the Holy Spirit, the inward witness of the Holy Spirit, will give me a fresh title to seek. And the Holy Spirit will lead me to the scriptures and teaching. Lord, I ask you to bless everyone on Omega Man Radio. Lord, I've worked for many radio stations and even worked on live television. But this is the best thing I've ever done. So I pray, Lord, that hundreds of thousands and millions of people will listen to Omega Man Radio. And they will all be blessed by doing so. And I ask this today. I pray that Shannon's son is well and his stitches will come out soon. I pray his mother is well and all his family are well. And I pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen.
I say amen. Brother, we love and appreciate you. You're doing a great job. And folks, we'll get this up in a few hours. Please share it with a friend. We'll talk to you soon, my friend. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Folks, that was Michael Cummins. And we will get this up in the archive here in just a bit. God bless you all for tuning in. We're going to be back tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern. Full marathon tonight. Hope to see you there. Once again, OmegaManRadio.com is our website. Have a great day. God bless you.